So I'm going to be speaking of this more in the sense of from a creative to a business perspective. And I think that's going to be useful for you as creatives to put yourself in that perspective. And then as business owners, it's just like some useful stuff that I think will help you communicate what you know about your business to working with a creative. So like I said, I'm the creative director, and that responsibility is I'm in charge of steering the look and feel of the creative that we're making for businesses. More or less finding a bridge between art and creative. So I work with a creative team, photographers, videographers, copywriters, etc., but all of them making decisions that help shape the look and feel of a business. That's our photographer, Reed. Some of you might know him. He's a good dude. So this is me and my sister. I haven't changed much. I grew up in a small town in the center of the state called Lewistown, Montana. And then I came here to study graphic design at MSU, and that was in 2000, so I'm getting pretty old. And I'd done the graphic design for this will be like 12 years-ish for me. And just a little bit about me personally, things that I love. I love my wife. Snowboarding.
Is that
it is. And that's actually a snowboard that I designed too. Good type. This is in Butte, Montana. I thought it was particularly beautiful. Bad movies. And helping businesses succeed. It's been really rewarding for me to see the work that we do help businesses actually do what they want to do, like better customer service, like whatever it is, like better graphics, better ads, and it actually helps the business grow, and it's been extremely rewarding for me. So, like, about 4 years in my career as a graphic designer, I started to feel like there's something missing. The work that I was producing was good as far as graphic design is concerned, but it wasn't really producing the results that I think the businesses wanted to see and that I wanted to see for them. And I think that came from a miscommunication between the business side and the creative side. And I think as creatives and as business people, we both know and have felt that in the difficulties of communicating business values to creative people to have them execute it. If you've ever worked with a creative as a business owner, it can be pretty difficult. Getting them to kind of understand what the business is. And on the creative side, it's difficult knowing what the business is to be able to produce that creative that aligns with it. And so I went looking for a solution, and that solution and that missing piece was branding. It was a way to systematically work with a business to find a way to connect the two. So I'm going to be going through a few of the tools that I've found useful over the last few years. I've been doing branding for 6 years now, and I'm finally starting to feel like I got a pretty good grip on it. So in this talk, I'm going to go through what is branding, defining the brand, communicating the brand visually, and then why it matters. A tricky word for businesses is the word creative. Like when you're talking to someone, you're like, hey, we're going to get you the creative for that. And they're like, I have no idea what you're talking about. But just for the non-creative people in the room, creative is the anything that basically has art and copy in it. Art being photography, illustration, etc., and then copy being copywriting, the written words of it. One of the most common things that I run into when we're pitching this to a new client is that a brand is not a logo. It's everything that your business does or that a customer can experience. And then branding as a concept is a way of identifying your business. It is how your customers recognize and experience your business. So branding as a concept is a process in which we put ourselves in the customer's perspective and work with our clients to define those things. A good example of this is, and I might use Starbucks a couple times for an example, is that it's not an accident how you feel when you go into a Starbucks. Like, a branding team has been working on that for decades. And branding is the process that we define those things. Like, it defines what the barista is going to act like. It defines what the interior of the space looks and feels like. Trying to help steer how people feel about your business. Some of you in the creative field might be familiar with Marty Neumeier. He's been a big influence for us. He's sort of like the grandfather of the branding concept. And if you work in the creative agency, I highly recommend The Brand Gap and The Brand Flip. They're easy reads. Like, you could read it on an airplane flight, no problem. But what Marty says is, a brand is not what you say, it's what they say it is. And I bring this up, he's got a ton of good quotes, but I bring this up because always staying customer focused. Like, it's, you can say that your business is zippity-doo-dah, like, and as long as your customer says it's zippity-doo-dah, it's okay. But when your customer doesn't say what the business is, that's when it gets what we call the brand gap, the difference between the two. So again, branding is everything. It's everything that has to do with a business that could affect a customer. It could be customer service. It could be storefront. It could be the logo. It could be emails. It could be interior design, packaging, really whatever it is, whatever that can help shape that customer experience. And since that's pretty complicated and we've only got a little bit of time, I'm not going to fully go into every single detail of how branding works. So I'm going to focus on two things, the business personality and business goals. So business goals being, what do you want? What does a business want to do for a customer? And then on the personality, what's the vibe of the business? Like, how does that business feel? Or how does that business want a customer to feel about them? And all that stuff shapes the brand identity. That's a lot. Is there any questions? So, defining the brand. Like, how does a business or a creative go into defining what the business is? Like, even if it's a simple business, defining it's pretty difficult. So I'm just going to go into two tools for this that we've found particularly useful. What do you do? What does the business do? And then customer personas. Who is this for and what do they want? It's not too complicated, but it's worth taking the time to think about. So what does a business do? Let's say it's a cupcake company. And from a customer perspective, we sell cupcakes is not enough. So at Cupcake Town, we believe people deserve better food. We use the best locally sourced ingredients to make the most wonderfully delicious cupcakes. It's pretty, like, now you kind of want those cupcakes. But we sell cupcakes is not enough. And a lot of the times when we're working with businesses, they basically want to say, we sell cupcakes. We sell X, and that's what we do. And it's not enough for customer interaction. And then the second tool with that is doing personas. So having a human that you're making this for, and putting it in those terms, instead of coming at the business goals as, I want to increase profits by 300%. Like, that's not going to do anything for the brand. Like, yeah, there's some things that the brand can do to help support that, But that's not a goal that is useful in defining and designing the brand. So with doing a person, like literally have a face to that person. So I'm kind of staying in the cupcake theme for this one. So this woman seems like the type of woman, just photo-wise, that's going to be in the cupcakes. Define gender, age, background, likes, hurdles, goals, and want, all with regard to the business. And then the other tool that we use is, and those working in the creative industry might know, be familiar with brand pillars for describing the business. So whereas the persona is more customer focused, the brand pillars are more about the business's personality, defining the best possible self of that business, being positive but being realistic. So just adjectives that describe the characteristics of the business. When we're working through this with a client, we're probably listing 70 to 100 adjectives, and then narrowing it down. We really find that it's more useful as a tool for working with clients that instead of being like, give me a sentence that describes your business, the coming at it from the adjective perspective of being like, give me 70 adjectives that you associate with your business, and then narrowing it down is a lot easier. So when working on the brand pillars, one of the things that happens quite a bit is a client will be like, we're fun. And I'm like, great. What does fun mean to you? And it's funny, fun is very common for people to say. And for different people, fun means a lot of different things. So getting them to describe fun, like maybe for them, fun is energetic and caring. Like, sure, what's caring is caring being empathetic. Does that make sense? Yeah.
So when you're defining these, you know, the pillars and then these, you know, other parts of your client's business.
Yep.
At what point do you, you know, sort of get information from them and then say, we're going to take this back and mull on it? Or do you talk with them sort of the entire time?
We basically take like a deep dig and gather the like 60 to 70 words, like whatever that is. Like there's a lot of other steps in the process, but take all that information and then digest it and bring it back to them. Like, based on what you said, I don't think these things align with what you're wanting to do. And then I think these things are in line with what you're wanting to do. Any other questions on that? Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
So, classically trained, I guess, as a graphic designer, the visual communication side is like what I'm very much an expert in, I guess. It feels weird saying that, but I guess 12 years of being a graphic designer, you're an expert. So in this, I'm going to go through two tools in making the visuals for a brand. And again, a brand is not a logo, but conceptually we can narrow it down into these two things: type and color. Type matters. If any of you know a graphic designer, and many of you probably are graphic designers, you know how much bad type drives us nuts. And I don't think it's because we're hoity-toity. I think the root of it is that it's not that hard, right? Yeah, it's just not. So thinking of type as visuals, and a letter on itself, like an A or an 8, is an abstract concept. It doesn't have style or a tone or voice or perspective. It's just an 8. There's nothing to it. But once you add the value of it being in the world of type or typography, it starts to take on characteristics. And with the branding process, the point of it is to align the brand's characteristics with the characteristics of the type. And when you see type that drives graphic designers or typographers nuts, it's stuff that doesn't align. Like if you guys have seen Avatar, Or have you seen the Papyrus video with Ryan Gosling? You know, like, it's, I mean, it is ridiculous that they used Papyrus for that. And here's a perfect example of Papyrus being not the right choice. So one of the brand's adjectives is being an expert is expert communicated through Papyrus. No. Is the company welcoming? Is it better set in Bleeding Cowboy? No. But on the other hand, you know, whimsical isn't going to be communicated very well in a bold sans serif. And type is interesting in that it really isn't that hard. Like, people spend a lot of time making this type have this feeling. And it's not that Bleeding Cowboy is necessarily a bad piece of type. It's just wrong for so many businesses. But we continue to keep seeing it everywhere. Yeah, I mean, it's that bad. And what's that?
It hurts.
It's pretty painful. And we're so used to seeing these big brands like take care of their and put care into the typography that they're using because they know it has meaning and it carries weight. So that when we see FedEx set in Comic Sans, it's ridiculous. I even took time to make sure that I still had the hidden arrow in the in FedEx. I don't know if you guys, you know, still works in Comic Sans, but it's so wrong. So bad. All right, color. Again, color matters. Color is an interesting word. Type can add context because it's in a word that has context. But color can live on its own and not have context. So with color and when we're working through this stuff, I always test color in context. Like, I'll never show a client, hey, what do you think of this Pantone red? Because it's like, it's just that it's red. Like, what could it mean other than red? And then they would associate other things with red. So if you're not showing it in context, it gets awkward. And I'll show some examples. So context matters. I literally had a client say, we can't use red. Red means stop. And red could mean communism. It could mean love. It could mean freshness. It could mean hot. Without context, it's somewhat meaningless. You know, if red means stop, why would Coca-Cola and Target use it? It's ridiculous. And again, context. White without context is meaningless, but white could mean tension and abstraction and fear of nothingness. Or it could mean the text style of Apple. Again, context matters. So when we're picking out color for clients, we decide, like, is the brand a warm brand or a cool brand? Same image, just more cyan added to it to make it feel cooler. So if the business is going to, if customer service is a big deal to that business, a cool brand is probably not going to work for them. I mean, obviously there's examples of it working and not working, but in general, if it's a brand that wants to welcome people in the hospitality industry, warm tones are going to be better. Just thinking about this hotel room, like, you want to go to the warm one. So, much like type, color in context adds more meaning. Soft means soft as a word, but when you add pink, it adds more interest to it and adds more to that story. And when you're building brands, think about those adjectives and do they align with the colors I've chosen. If your brand is rugged, green is a great choice. If your brand is pink, I mean, if your brand is cute as an attribute that's associated with it, cute looks good in pink and helps and it works. In the same way that the type felt wrong on the Google logo, Jeep in pink doesn't really make sense, right? Jeep is rooted in the Army. They've got this rugged vehicle. If it needs to be rugged, you know, Jeep chose that green intentionally. And the same with Barbie. One thing that's interesting about this is seeing these together in context. Like, I think Barbie's Jeep. Questions on color?
How do you deal with the gendered piece of that? I think Jeep looks cool.
True, but that's a good question.
I like Barbie in green.
For sure. So my favorite teacher I've ever had in my life, Ann Gardner, some of you might know her, at all times she was like, anytime you're applying gender to creative, she said just avoid it. So like I said, at no point did I say pink is feminine.
No,
I just,
no,
yeah.
I'm not accusing you.
No.
I'm just curious.
Yeah. So, yeah, I basically as a creative, like I try not to apply gender to visuals.
I think it goes to the point of once you have an established brand, you can play with that stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, but when you're trying to establish your brand, it's not going to work.
Would you want to build it around your target customer anyway? Like the colors and in your branding, you want to build towards whoever your target customer is. And But like you said, once you are established, you can't do that. Because, I mean,
think
is like a Jeep
party.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. So. So the whole time that we're working through this, you're checking, you're prototyping these things out. So let's say I'm working on the Jeep logo, and I'm working through it with a client. I'd give them two options. And it would be either one of these are right, but between the two of them, which one feels more like the attributes that you want to be described as, and which are the ones are going to connect more to that persona you've developed? Always like circling back to check back to that one. Does that make sense? Okay. So, why does any of this matter? What could this possibly do? What would changing your logo to pink possibly affect in the grand scheme of your business? Those of us who work in the creative field understand the hurdles of dealing with attention span, right? Like people, you spend all night writing copy and literally no one reads it. maybe they read one sentence of it. They go to your website and they're there for 30 seconds and you consider that a win. Hurdles that we're facing that I believe branding can help with are attention span, and then obviously differentiating you from the competition. If you have a totally unique product that no one's ever heard of, and everybody wants, it's not going to be something you need. But if you're in a market where other people are doing what you're doing, you need to be able to separate yourself from them. Think Pepsi and Coca-Cola. Like visually, those brands are immediately different. And Coca-Cola stayed very true to their original like brand identity, and then Pepsi has made a serious effort to distance themselves visually from Coca-Cola. And then perceived value. If the brand aligns with the persona in a way that people relate to, and that person is like, oh, you know, like this is I'm the cupcake woman. I like pink. It builds trust and value for that. And then misperceptions of the business. So time and time again, we get clients that have a hard time communicating to their customers who they are and what do they do. And if we can use the visual architecture that we as a society already have in place in understanding imagery and color, we can add value and add meaning to the business. So why invest all the time into this? brand power. And it seems like a pretty abstract concept, but when you think about it, it really does make an impact in how people think about you. And I'll show you a couple examples of brand power. And these examples are just type and color, but they've been branded well enough and they've had enough time in the market that you're going to be able to recognize them. The only one that some people are having trouble with is the top right. Anybody know what the top right is? Bottom left? And I think that it's interesting thinking about some of America's like biggest, most powerful brands. And these are definitely some of them. And did anyone get the right middle?
No.
There's hardly any information there, right? Yeah. And you know, based on the type and the color, that brand. And through the branding process of focusing energy on who that customer is, like, we can do that for small to medium-sized businesses. Yes, the Coca-Cola audience is much bigger and they've had much more time, but smaller businesses' audiences are smaller, so you don't need as much time. You can think about local brands that you would recognize like this, depending on the industry you're in. Like Knife River, like if Yalmar saw a snippet of Knife River's logo, he would know it immediately. Because Yalmar works in the construction industry. By having the brand direction, establishing the brand values, who, what, when, where, why, and then the feel of that, the brand pillars, so the direction that we talked about, and then accurately portraying your company's values through visuals, and then consistently putting that out there into the world. It's interesting. People will come to me and be like, okay, I need a logo, and I want it to be as meaningful as the Nike logo. And as a creative person, I know that you guys resonate with that because it's a tough one to hear because I literally can't do that. Like, all the time and money in the world. Well, with all the time and money in the world, I could do that. But my clients don't have that. So by putting in the perspective of the customer first, the customer-centric thinking, and building that perfect customer, and then making visual communication that looks right for that perfect customer that he or she is going to relate to, it'll attract that customer. And what's interesting about focusing on your perfect customer and defining that is that there's lots of your perfect customers out there. And that person who is your perfect customer will be attracted to it. That's what we do. We make sure that they are. And then they'll tell more people about it. And that attracts more customers. Loyalty. By being consistent in your visuals and a good example of this is Starbucks. If you go into Starbucks and the barista is rude to you, or not even rude, different than you're used to, you feel weird about it because you've got a loyalty to that and you feel that connection. So just to kind of put it in perspective, when you're interacting with them and it changes, it gives you a sense of the how important that is to you. Yeah, just be consistent. And understanding. Our clients are all over the place as far as, you know, real estate to finance. That's not broad enough. it's all over, like food industry, artists. Everybody has hurdles in getting their customers to understand what's going on. And by looking the way that they think a business like you should look, it helps bring understanding. It gives them more tools to understand you. And better word of mouth. And I think for me, this is the most important part. When you give people visual tools to communicate as well as verbal tools to be able to communicate, they can share your company more easily. And what I think is really powerful about that is when a person recommends a business to someone and that business looks the way that that person described it, it immediately builds trust. And I think that's the most important piece of branding, building trust.